Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcasts.com/hamnation.
And by ICOM and the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest, which takes place November 24th and 25th. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 74, November 21st, 2012. Tower safety and coaxial dipoles. Good evening, everybody. It's that time again. It's time for Ham Nation. So all of the antennas should be up and everybody should be tuned in and calling all your buddies, because the next hour we're going to have some fun talking about what else? Ham radio and lots of things going on tonight. Lots of things. First of all, let's go down to Mississippi. George, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Bob. Doing fine tonight. Looking forward to a big show. You know, Gordo's out this week, which means you and I can cut up a little bit.
Yes. And, you know, I think he's out there without adult supervision, and that could be really scary. So... I'm not sure, because I don't think Susie's with him. So we'll learn more about that. But I did a club meeting last night in New York, and he was there. In fact, I'm still playing around with my balloons. You remember the balloons to show you how your dipole worked? And for all of you who didn't see this, this is pretty cool, by the way. This is the way your dipole works. If you put up a dipole, here's the dipole. This is what happens to the pattern. It goes this way, pretty equal. If you put up some type of an array, a phased array or a beam, this is what happens. A lot of the power is going to be going that direction. And if you rotate it, it goes that direction and not a whole lot that way. So you don't waste your energy. Of course, if you just stick up an old omnidirectional, hello, it goes everywhere. So anyway, I have fun with my balloons, and sometimes Sarah says, are you in there making dogs? But it's a really good lesson about how antennas work, because it's hard for us to talk about it, but when you see it. And who else to bring in to have some of the fun is Amanda from Colorado. It's been some time. How are you doing, Amanda? You understood that. You know all about those antennas anyway, all right?
That's right. Dipole is all I use, and I trust it, and the cheapest thing you can do. So that's great. And Jeff and I are doing wonderful. He's dressing up for the show tonight, so I can't wait to show you guys our segment.
Okay, we're waiting. You're going to do a thing on tower safety. That'll be very timely, so we'll be looking for that after a while. And then the chat room is going to be watched by Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl, you guys, you know all about this antenna stuff. You got up good antennas, and there you are with your chat room already. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Ham Nation, everybody. Greetings, everyone. And this is K9VIK here, and I need to just let you know, preliminary happy Thanksgiving ahead of time, of course. I mean, we're all going to overeat a little bit tomorrow, but that goes without saying. But what I need to ask you guys tonight is to bring in some questions for Bob and George tonight, so we can test them and see if they have a good answer for us. So I'm going to ask you for that. Other than that, this mystery antenna is working pretty good. I want to kind of give a preliminary announcement. If people like that mystery antenna and have heard David and I on the air, I am going to be building one of those antennas pretty soon, and George is going to have some contests going on, and you'll see the pictures of me actually soldering the antenna and things like that, and then it'll come up for a contest. So if you like the mystery antenna, I hope you give me a thumbs up in the chat room that you're interested, because it's going to become available to you probably before the end of the year. I just wanted to give you a little heads up. So that's what we have.
That's great. Mystery antenna by my great late friend, W5GI, John Basilotto. He was quite a guy. Well, we are going to have a lot of this going on, but before we get too far into this, yesterday was Joe Walsh's birthday. Just so you knew, it was his 65th birthday. And today, George, is Julian's birthday. Did you girls know that? Amanda, did you know it was your net buddy there's birthday today? There he is.
No, I didn't. And I'm so thrilled for him. And I'm glad he's taking the night off to go celebrate, actually.
That's right. That's right. So you'll probably get a lot of comments on the chat room about this. So be watching, Cheryl. And what we're going to do, of course, all in unison, we can sing if you want to. I don't sing, but guess what I can do? Roll 'em, Alex. Big ending for a great song for a great guy. Yeah, he's a jolly good fellow, that's for sure, Cheryl.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday,
Julian.
He's out with Hannah tonight, as he should be, and enjoying his birthday. But before he left us, look at this, Halloween boy. He left us with some great videos that he's been working with a couple of guys, and one of them is the Radio Club of America's anniversary, and that's where Gordon was this week. So let's roll this first video that Julian has brought us of the RCA, Radio Club of America's anniversary.
On location for Ham Nation, this is N9JA. Today we are visiting Radio City for their 30th anniversary. Our tour will start just off of Highway I in Moundsview, Minnesota, just north of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Just as you enter the store, there is an information area covering various amateur radio interests as well as astronomy, which has a substantial level of crossover enthusiasts. We even see a plug for Ham Nation with the postcard. As we work our way around the store, you see plenty of items you need to install your gear. Things such as antennas, coax, mounts, and those miscellaneous connectors you need to do a good install, along with aisles of new gear and a big selection of used gear. To quote Bob and Gordo, you do not have to spend a lot of money to get in the hobby or to have fun. As mentioned earlier, astronomy is one of the hobbies that has a lot of crossover into amateur radio, and Radio City has you covered. As with amateur radio, they can cover almost any level of addiction. During the day, I spoke with a lot of local hams, and one thing that was clear to me is Radio City cares about amateur radio. And they show this love for the hobby by doing presentation at local club meetings, having monthly events to teach new hams about things like PSK31, contesting, even D-Star, and let's not forget their Thursday evening astronomy class. While we have shown you the showroom, there's a classroom in the back that houses the bookstore, as well as a small collection of antique radios. Some of these brought back memories for me as I remember searching for parts when I was a kid. Before the celebration started, we saw the parking lot fill up. Then came the fun stuff, the drawings. Almost every manufacturer was represented, and while everybody likes a good cap, the favorite prize had to be the Comet beer glasses. Sorry, beer was not included. A large selection of all manufacturers' gear was on display, and probably the most popular was the IC7600 and FT-DX3000 podium. These two radios were side by side with the antenna switch for those contesters who wanted to do a A-B comparison. As we had more prizes to be given away, W0BUD received the 2013 AWR Handbook. This is always something nice to have for a quick reference, and everyone loves a gift certificate. Probably one of my most favorite moments was a time to visit with someone who has been a ham for many years. And while he was kicking the tires on a new radio, I got to hear some of his stories of ham radio years gone by. So from all of us who had a great time in Mounds View, Minnesota, thank you and 73 N9JA going QRT.
All right. That was about Radio City. I thought we were going to do the RCA thing. Radio City, Dan and his wife have been a great dealer all these many years in Minnesota. And I do hope that all of you that live in that area get to visit it, because they're great people. They really help you. And that's what it's all about, is a dealer that can help you. That it's not always the cheapest price or whatever. It's how they can help you if you have any problems, or if you buy the radio, what are you going to do with it? You have to be able to program it. Radio City is one of those that can help you. So check it out up in Minnesota. And, of course, they have a number. Dial them on the phone. Hey, George, you catch that? You can tell how old I was. I said dial.
Yeah, I bet a lot of folks here, this audience, there's probably a few who know what a dial is, but I guarantee there's a lot that have maybe never even seen a dial.
Well, I'm still trying to find a cell phone with a dial on it that works, but that's okay. That's another story. Julian has a great video from the Netherlands, and let's take a look at this one, Alex. This is really great, and it's a day for amateur radio. Check this out, guys and girls.
Hello everybody, I'm Rob Keizer, and my call sign is Papa Alpha 3 Charlie November Tango. Okay, now that's out of the way. Where are we and what are we doing here? We are in Apeldoorn, the Netherlands, for the Day for the Radio Amateur. It is held for the 52nd consecutive year, and it's organized by the VEERON, the Society for Experimental Radio Research in the Netherlands. It's Saturday, November the 3rd, and the America Hall will, like previous years, be filled with all kinds of ham radio things. After a short wait, the door opens at 9 a.m. And this is the stand of the VEERON, who organizes the event.
Ereleden, leden van verdiensten, geachte aanwezigen. Fijn dat u aanwezig bent op deze voor ons alle bijzondere dag.
The chairman makes his opening speech and thanks all the volunteers making this possible.
Deze dag zodanig voorbereiden, voor te bereiden dat het interessant wordt en interessant blijft. En namens het hoofdbestuur wil ik hen danken voor hun inzet.
Among them is Mrs. Althoff-Kosters, who announces the appointment of the Amateur of the Year.
De amateur van het jaar 2011 is geworden de heer Richard Oostmeijer, PE0RIG uit Groningen.
And there he is. Now let's see what we can find in a large hall.
You're a PA3 Foxtrot Whiskey mic.
Yes.
And you've got an SDR on the web.
Yes.
Can you describe what that is?
Well, I call it a web SDR. It's a system where we have one SDR receiver coupled to a piece of software that I developed, which makes it possible for many people to simultaneously use that receiver via the internet up to, well, tens or hundreds of people can use it simultaneously. In contrast to previous web-based radios where a single person can only tune. Here, multiple people can tune independently of each other.
And is that a matter of streams or servers, or is it another technology that more people can listen at the same time?
No, the crucial point is that with software-defined radio, a whole piece of radio spectrum is fed into the computer. So it's a matter of, well, running software there, which extracts multiple instead of one signal out of that piece of spectrum, and then, well, sends each of those to each of the listeners.
And where is that receiver hosted?
Well, there are many of them. There are now some 40 around the world. The one that I maintain myself is hosted at the University of Twente, our local university, where also we work and where we developed this for the first time. And this one is somewhat special because it does not cover just a single amateur band or a few amateur bands. It covers the entire spectrum from 0 up to 29 megahertz with special hardware that I developed for that.
Okay. Can you give our viewers the URL, or is it very complicated?
I think you better mount it in the picture. You have the URL here on the screen.
Got it in
the easy URL to remember is websdr.org, which has a list of all the web SDRs.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is the telecom agency, the Dutch equivalent of the FCC, and the emergency service. And these are kids being introduced to kit building. And that's it. Hope you enjoyed watching. For Ham Nation, I'm Rob Keizer.
Wow.
What a great video. And there again, everybody, ham radio is universal around the globe. They're all enjoying the same type of thing that we are. How cool. That was really great. But George, did you catch that where that guy has this new SDR that we can dial in? Over hundreds of people can listen to different stations at the same time. How's that work?
That it works good, Bob. I've actually used that one before, and it's nice. I mean, you just go on there, and you've got your dials or your virtual dials, and you just tune right down the frequency you want. And I assume he's just taking a real broad hunk of the spectrum there and just making a lot of little receiver modules that different people can slot around, listen to whatever they want. That was a real interesting ham fest there. I'm not sure what they were talking about part of the time, but it looked like fun.
I think maybe you and I should go next year. We'll take Gordon, all three of us, but we'll have to have some kind of an interpolator.
Definitely. But he did a great job.
Yeah, that was really good. And any of you that have some videos, let's get them in here. We're always looking for good videos, nicely done, as you saw, and slides of your station. We want to see what you're doing. Let everybody know how things are in your neighborhood. We're going to go down to New Orleans and hear about the news around the globe from Don Wilbanks.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1839, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. Some big changes ahead for amateur radio in China. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
For the past 30 years, only a sports organization could transmit on the amateur radio bands. But this is 2012, and the old system of someone first being a member of a sports-related body before entering amateur radio no longer works and will end. Now clubs and individuals will have their own call signs throughout the world's most populated country. Also being considered for emergency communications is a new error-correcting low-power data mode for HF radio using Chinese characters, a software-defined radio network for noisy locations, an alarm system, VHF and UHF repeaters, and overall training. Along with the revised regulations will be a new entity called the Chinese Radio Amateur Club that will be solely focused on amateur radio. The new group will deal with regulations including visitor licenses, conducting exams and licensing, create band plans, allow nationwide mobile operation, develop emergency communications infrastructure, amateur satellites, and work with the International Amateur Radio Union.
These revised regulations promise to bring China more in line with the rest of amateur radio service regulations worldwide. And it's now official, Norway has affirmed new bans for ham radio in that nation. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH of the RSGB News.
472 to 479 kilohertz with a maximum of 1 watt EIRP. The former permission to use 493 to 510 hertz has been stopped. Permission has been given to use 70.1875 to 70.2625 megahertz, except in the three Norwegian southwest counties of Hordaland, Rogaland, and West Agder. Other segments allowing 100 watts transmitter power and maximum 16 kilohertz bandwidth include 70.0625 to 70.0875 megahertz, 73625 to 70.3875 megahertz, and 70.4125 to 70.4625 megahertz.
The new rules in Norway are reportedly effective now. Some names in the news. The RSGB has announced the appointment of John Reynaud, G4SWX, as their new VHF manager. Reynaud is described as an active amateur on the VHF and UHF bands, a longstanding designer and home builder of VHF equipment, and a contributor to the RSGB publication Radcom. He replaces David Butler, G4ASR, who took on the job temporarily following the death of Terry Stevens, G8DKS, earlier in the year. And U.S. Congressman Greg Walden, W7EQI, who is the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee's Communications Subcommittee, has been reelected by a wide margin in Oregon's 2nd District. Walden pulled almost 70% of the vote, according to unofficial results from the Oregon Secretary of State. And finally this week, Episode 4 of the Youth and Amateur Radio Podcast is now available for download. This month's topics include getting on the air and how repeaters work. The report can be downloaded on yarphams.com or via iTunes. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, wishing you a very happy Thanksgiving, 73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Okay, very good, Don. We always love Newsline. It tells us so much of what's going on, and I hope you get to listen to the full report that Bill Pasternak and his whole crew does with Newsline on your local repeaters. It's on hundreds of stations around the country also, and all around the globe, as I understand. So that's great. Let's go hear what W6TWT's been reading lately.
Hams, excuse me for just a moment. I'd like to, yes, I know. I'm in Australia right now. You know, when I flew there, it was a 14-and-a-half-hour flight last week. And you know what I did the whole time? Listen to audiobooks. If you're 14 and a half hours in a plane, in economy, with a 9-year-old, you need audible.com. Anytime you're driving, at work, at the gym, when I'm doing housework. I hate housework, not with Audible. In fact, with Audible, I vacuum just a little bit longer because I'm so having so much fun listening to these audiobooks. Do you know about Audible? Visit audible.com. Take a look because there's 100,000 titles there. Great stuff. Fiction, nonfiction. I'm a big history buff. I know a lot of hams are fascinated by history. The history collection is fantastic. Books about, you know, I just read the Einstein biography by Walter Isaacson. That was incredible. It's a great book on Tesla on Audible. I mean, it's an endless supply of treasure trove of information, of knowledge, of entertainment. In fact, it's kind of like, Audible's kind of like a movie theater in your head, because these books are read by these guys who read these books are so good, the guys and gals. They're great actors. I'll give you an example. You know, there's a movie that just came out called Cloud Atlas. They said it would never be made because this novel's unfilmable. Well, I thought before I see the movie, I think maybe I ought to listen to the novel. Incredible, because it's interlocking stories, and each has a different narrator, a different voice, a different style. And Audible the production is so much better than the movie because I saw it in my head, and your imagination just brings it to life. Here's the deal. I wanted to have you try Audible for free. So what you're going to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, and that's at that point, you can sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month, a credit a month, but most books are a single credit. And your first month's free. Your first book is free. Cancel at any time. Pay nothing, but that book is yours to keep forever. Now, I suspect you're not going to cancel because I think once you start listening to audiobooks, you never go back. But maybe it's not for everyone, so you give it a try and see if you like it. It's funny. My son, who's 18, hardest time to get him to read. Really difficult. And I thought, you know, he told me the other day, he said, I can read about a page and my mind wanders. Even, you know, it's not that I'm sleepy, I just wander. And I said, Henry, you're interested in physics right now. He was studying string theory. I got him a book on Audible by a guy named, I think it's Brian Greene, on string theory. He read it cover to cover. He listened to it cover to cover. There was something about the audio. And I thought, you know, I think he's a little bit like me. I think he is maybe an auditory learner. If you have a kid who's having a hard time reading, they have young adult books. They even have children's books. And it's just a great place for them. The Brian Greene book that he listened to, he's a physicist at Columbia, is called The Elegant Universe. Highly recommended. And it's so turned on Henry to physics. Now he says, I love physics. I want to be a physicist. Audible, it's great. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Thank you, Audible. I'm sorry, I went on and on. Now back to you, Hams.
That's okay. We love it when you go on and on. And on your return, why, we're going to have to come out and get you on the program and see what else is happening in your life and get your radios up and running. Let's turn to another thing about coaxial antennas. You know, I get so many emails, and I love them. I love them. I try to answer all of them, phone calls, and I talk to a lot of you on the air, and you've been wanting to know more about this coaxial antenna thing we're doing. It's not a mystery. It's an incredible antenna that's been around since the late 30s that MIT actually designed it to work for the radar system with the government during the war. But let's take a look at some of the things that is going on with the coaxial dipole. So Alex, bring up a couple of them. There's a diagram of it, and even have it spelled out in different frequencies. But you'll notice that's a piece of coax. It's RG58U, the old kind, the old milky kind. It's got to be a 0.66 velocity. And you split the shield, and you tie it off at the end. And that center section is very, very difficult to hang in the air. So they're weak at that point. So you got to really make sure that you have good support in that center area, because just those two little pieces of the shield is holding it. The IAC people have got it together. They did a mold on their center insulator, and it's vacuum mold. It's really cool. And this works, and I've got one up here in Illinois. It's been there for gosh darn, I don't know how long. It's been over 15 years, and it works great, and it's never come apart. And there's a picture, if you can see it, of just a single dipole, the coaxial dipole. But you see, I have a piece of rope. I use 5/8 Dacron, black Dacron, so the sun doesn't get to it. And I wire tie that rope and the antenna together, and then down comes the coax feed. I use an irrigation valve cover, and that gets it out of the ground, and you can bury the cable then. That works really good. And then up through the antenna, and the antenna is supported by what we call a messenger line, and then we wire tie it about every foot so that center insulator doesn't have to do all the work. That's where the tough part is. That works great. Now, here is the two phased array. So you don't have to have telephone poles. You don't have to do all that. You can take two wire antennas, but they have to be 64 foot apart. That was all well spilled out in the part back on program 63 and 65 about that. But that's how I first put them up, and they worked great. They were about 30 foot above the ground and 64 foot apart. There's the diagram of them. And that phasing line is switched in and out. And you saw from my balloon a while ago, when you have your antenna, your lead coming from the transmitter going right to the director, away it goes, and the reflector is delayed 43 foot. And so it makes that signal directional. Flip it the other way, it's going to go the other direction. And it works so good, and it's so easy to do. I can't tell you how incredible 20 dB on 75 meters and 40 meters is. I did prepare these for 40 meters. So that's the phased array. And there it is without the telephone poles. You don't need all that. I just wanted to get them up higher. And if you recognize the trees and stuff, that's you see where the telephone poles will go. And that's what we did. After I had them up several months, I said, boy, I need to get them higher. So that's what I did. And that works terrific. Coaxial dipoles and in a phased array. Now, in between those, you can see that. That lead that goes from pole to pole up at 33 feet, that's the 40-meter array, a 40-meter phased array. They're 33 foot apart, 33 feet high. Works great. There's all three coaxial dipoles that are omnis. There's a 160, there's 75, and there's 40 meters. And just gives us a lot of possibilities of capturing that signal as it comes down out of the ionosphere, because you never know where it's going to be. So this allows us to do that. So with those antennas, it just makes operating so much fun, so much fun. But I had to do a lot of smoke and solder, George. Right now, when I left the other day, I was up over 60 coax connectors, thinking about you, just about every one of them, and there's more to go. So show us how to make that smoke and solder do some other really cool things with your soft rock, man.
Okay, Bob. 60 PL259s, man, that is a job. I bet I bet your fingers are a little burned by now.
Well, not only that, you want to see all the scars? Hey, I've got them. Because all these little... get in there and dig at you. But that's okay. It's worth it.
Probably got coax braid in your fingertips after all
that.
Got it.
That's what tweezers are for.
Yep. Well, this week we're back to building the soft rock again. Part four, we're going to build the, what am I building this week? The RFIO and RF switching section of it. Next week, I'm going to do something a little bit different. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's see how we came along on the soft rock this week. This week on Smoke and Solder, we continue building the soft rock RXTX ensemble from 5-.com with part 4, the RF IO and switching. This stage handles the RF input and output paths along with the switching from receive to transmit. The radio defaults to the receive mode, and when a push-to-talk signal is sent down to the USB line to the AT-Tiny85 microcontroller in the local oscillator stage, that signal's passed through the radio across the galvanically isolated boundary between the digital and analog sides of the rig via an opto-isolator.
He's talking big Latin. I don't know what he's saying.
There are several surface mount components that will mount, and this week, instead of using the hot air method and solder paste, I'm going to use a regular soldering iron. Now, the first thing I'll do is go through and mark the location of each of these components so they'll be easy to find. Now, there are already components on the bottom of the board, and it doesn't want to sit level. So we need it to be flat while we do this. I'm going to take a couple of Sharpies and set under the edges so that I can get the board to remain stable. Now, the first surface mount capacitor we're going to mount is C70, and that's a 0.01. So we'll get one, dump it on the board, and then take our tweezers and position it where we want it to go. Now, when we put the soldering iron to this, the component's going to want to slide around on the board, so we're going to need a little help there. We'll construct a little jig using one of these clamps and a toothpick. And now we'll use this to position the toothpick on top of the component
to hold it in place while we solder. Now we may need to adjust the position of the component just a little after putting the toothpick on top. Now I'm going to use the smallest soldering tip that I can find, and we'll just solder to the board just like we normally would. And I'll use the tweezers again just to make sure that the component is firmly mounted. Well, that worked well, so now we'll do the other three capacitors using the same method. Now we need to determine which bands we're going to build this kit for. I'm choosing the 40, 30, and 20 meter bands, so that means I need to use these specific toroid cores with the right windings for that band. The first step is to identify the cores that I need. L2 and L3 both need a T37-6 core. It's one of the yellow ones, and we can identify it because it's 1/4 inch long. L4 uses a T25-6 core, and to identify this one, we look for 0.3 inches, which is about 5/16 of an inch. Now we need to put the proper number of turns around each of these, and we'll use the red wire for this and the chart to identify how many turns each should have. I'm not going to show you this because we've wound toroids on the show before. Now I'll mount each one to the PC board and use a small piece of insulation as a standoff. No, this is not a fishing lure. This is Transformer T5. This one will be a little difficult to explain here on the show, so I'm going to suggest that you follow the builder's notes at the WB5RVZ website, and you should be able to put it together. It's very similar to the other transformers and toroids that we have wound. The leads on this one are so small that you're going to need to use the tweezers in order to get them all in the holes. We'll want to do some continuity checks to make sure that the transformers are installed properly, and fortunately, the author of the builder notes gave us all the test points that we need. We've got a transistor and three FETs to install next, and we want to be sure that we look at the drawing on the silk screen and make sure that we match that up with the shape of the device as we install it. We'll have several band-specific capacitors to install. That means we'll need to look at the charts provided and choose which bands we want to build this kit for. I'm going to build mine for the 40, 30, and 20-meter bands. There are a few topside resistors to install, and finally, the BNC connector. Let's move over to the testing phase now, and the first test we'll do, of course, is a current draw test. We'll install our ammeter in series with the power supply. We connect the voltage, and we see we're drawing 7.3 milliamps. The spec is for less than 20 milliamps, so we're okay by there. The author of the testing document had 16.1, so we're considerably lower than him once again. But let's continue on and see if everything else is okay. Now let's do a few voltage tests, and all of these will be in respect to the hairpin of R50 being ground. Each of these should measure approximately 2.5 volts. And we find that they all do. Now we'll do some RF switching tests, and we have a couple of test points that the author gave us. The first one here should measure somewhere between 9 and 12 volts. We've got 10.24, so that's good. Then we'll measure the other test point, and that should measure 0 volts. And that's what we've got there. Now both of these measurements were taken with the unit in receive mode. Now we'll need to connect a USB cable and run the software for the unit so we can switch to push-to-talk mode. This time we find out that the measurements are exactly backwards of what they were in receive mode. Now there are a couple of other tests that I ran as well, and we passed all of those. Now throughout the process of building this unit, I've constantly had to refer to the builder notes on the website to be able to put this thing together. My desktop computer is several feet away from the workbench, and it was getting old running back and forth. Fortunately, I had a little TV monitor here on the bench and my Raspberry Pi, and it sure has been handy to use this little $35 computer as a web browser while I work. Well, that's it. And as I mentioned, I'm going to do something a little different next week. We still got some more stages on that soft rock. But we're going to stretch that out a little bit. Next week, though, I am going to attempt a magic trick here that's never been done before with solder, at least not on a video podcast that I'm aware of. I don't know if it'll work, so we'll just have to watch and see if it does, Bob.
Uh-oh. Wow, this could be something we want to bring the Guinness Book of Records in for, something like that.
If it works, yes. Okay. If it works. But like I say, I have not tried it. I've only heard of this, so we'll just have to see. It may be a flop altogether. In that case, we'll have a lot of sound effects for you.
Boy, is that a tease for next week, Cheryl, or what did he just do, huh? Okay. What are you doing for the contest? You got something kind of special for the contest tonight?
Well, I do, Bob. And first, let me mention that we are about to give away that IC7200 and the complete HF station on the monitor over here with a lot of great products added to it to make a whole setup for someone. And we thank ICOM and you and Gordo and MFJ and Wireman and everyone who contributed to that. You still got time to get your name in the hat. If you'd like to win that rig and all the other great prizes along with it, then check out the latest episode of Amateur Logic. We're going to be doing the drawing on December 8th and announcing the winner on the 15th. So you still got a little better than a week to get your name in the hat on that one. And for today, last week I asked a question, what is feeding the divider stage of that soft rock? And Kurt Mills, WE7U, said that the divider stage of the soft rock is being fed by the local oscillator. So congratulations, Kurt. You won the good prize here, the ARRL antenna book. Great book, real thick. Got a CD in the back of it with a lot of good tips in there. If you want to know something about antennas and you're not afraid to look it up, it's probably in this book right here because they cover a lot of stuff. Now, for next week, we're going to give away another one of these MFJ telescopic antennas. And this is a little antenna that is stated to be for scanner receivers, but it actually could be used on a handy talkie if you've got a BNC connector and just adjusted it out to the right length. Now, if you would like to win that, then last week, Bob was wearing a special shirt, and I think we may have a picture of it there at the studio. What is the schematic? What is the schematic on that shirt? And Bob and I think that we know, and if you think you know, then send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me what's on Bob's shirt.
Oh, wow. That was my birthday present from Ashley and Michelle, stepson and his wife up in Buffalo, New York, where we're going to be for Christmas. Hot dog. But hopefully no snow. They've had it pretty good this year. But let's see if anybody can guess my shirt. That'd be a good guess my shirt, George. How's that?
That's great. And you know, it's a little blurry there, but I think I was able to make out what I think it is.
Yeah.
It may not be anatomically correct, but it's pretty much what we think it is, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. And, hey, my idea of good literature is schematics. I love reading through old schematics. I showed you that last week. If you missed it last week, look at the first of the show last week with all those RCA and GE notes. My gosh, I remember when I was a teenager, I'd sit back in the back of study hall reading these things. I didn't have time for all that other nonsense. And look where it got me, George.
Exactly. And you know, schematics are great. I've got all these Forrest Mims books. You know, he does a lot of op-amp stuff. And when I want to build something, I just go through there and find two or three circuits that are the little pieces of what I want and just put them all together and make me a project.
If everybody knew what to do with a 555 IC, oh, man, you can do more things with that. And that's what we need to do. Get people involved in some of this. It's not difficult. If I can do it, anybody can. I think we have to pay a little bit of respect here to ICOM. Boy, I'll tell you, they continue to help us here, and they're coming out with some wonderful things. And I wanted to let you know about some of the things coming up. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but this is the weekend coming up of the Worldwide DX Phone Contest, CQ's WW. Go find out about it. It's time for you to take to the airwaves. And now it's the DXCW contest. And this takes place this weekend. So get out your keys and make it happen. It's the largest CW ham activity on VHF of the year. And what's really great about it is that you hear operators from all over the world. And again, it's code. It's CW. You get to test your home station, your antennas, and really see how you work also. And don't be afraid that it's a contest. You're not going to win the top prizes. That's not what it's all about. A contest is just fun for most of us, and we get to maybe work some new countries. And it's easy to do any confirming the QSLs because you can use the ARRL's logbook of the world. And right after the contest, dial them all in, and you'll get your confirmation. That's really cool. Propagation usually is outstanding this time of the year. So we should have a really great weekend. And it's just, for me, it's fun to pick out the weak signals. That's when I get to test all the different pieces of gear, the different receivers. And you also can dial into some of those weakies and find a multiplier that maybe you wouldn't hear if they were real strong. And you can play with your filters and your DSP and switch antennas, all of this, because there are going to be thousands of signals on the air. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that even though CW is not required to get an HF license in most countries, CW has never been more popular than it is right now. I find that so wonderful. And the slower speed ops is to move up a little higher in the band, kind of get out of the way, guys, down on the bottom. And you can have all kinds of fun contacts there. And the QRP and the small stations, you're going to work lots of DX, let me tell you. And I'm finding a huge, huge happening around the world on QRP. It's really becoming a big deal. So get on this weekend. Make sure that you have paid attention. Visit icomamerica.com/hamnation, icomamerica.com/hamnation. And that'll give you some of the details and more information on all of the different things that are going on. So this'll be a great weekend for you. You also want to go look at the CQ at their www.CQ, and there you go, the Worldwide DX Contest. There it is on the screen. Dial that up, and it'll give you all of the rules. And that's what you're going to be hearing this weekend all over your receivers. And I really hope that that you get to get in. And don't be afraid. Please do not be afraid, because it's a weekend that every type of operator in the world is there. And so give her a shot. And we want to make sure that when you visit the ICOM site, that you'll be able to check out some of the winners of the contest. You know, you can enter their weekly drawing. They have a weekly drawing on the ICOM site, and T-shirts and all kinds of swag, hats and so on. And you want to go in and dial up the winners and see who they are. And congratulations to all of you. And you want to check to see if maybe you have won something. Look at that. So check it out. And again, we thank ICOM for doing that and putting this contest together with CQ. And hey, George, guess what? It's Christmas coming around. Did you know what ICOM has now announced for a small little fee of only $299? Did you hear about this deal?
I heard about that, and I was kind of surprised. It's a pretty late model radio. I think they just released this one.
That's right. It's an ID31 handy talkie D-Star for $299.
That's the one that I think downloads the programming off the internet or something where you don't have to go through and punch everything in manually.
Isn't that cool?
It
is. So they got a real special price. And so you can tell your loved ones or just yourself, go buy yourself a Christmas present and you'll love it because it put all that programming stuff aside, get this new ICOM Handy Talkie and you'll be there. So be sure and register for those drawings. And hey, you can pick up the new Handy Talkie also. That'd be really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's turn to tower safety. You can't just go climbing a tower somewhere. You're going to have to take care of yourself. And Amanda and Jeff are going to show us how to do that. Amanda, how are you and what's happening in your world?
Well, we did get Jeff into the harness here. You can see him in the background here. Oh, very cute. And look at that Ohio Sound shirt. All right. Okay. Let's go through the slides here first, you guys, and we can talk about tower safety on the way. So number one here, first we have K0JSC, that's Jeff, and WA0NLK doing some demonstrations, not that they offered to or anything, just some pictures taken. All right, and what they're doing here is taking some sections down. And this is three of them in close encounters on the same tower. They were taking a broken section down. And very nice. Number one rule, and this is a funny rule, but it's an unwritten rule, is that if we could go to the next slide here. Yes. No breakfast burritos or huevos rancheros. Okay. I know that's funny, but it's serious and it's unwritten and you won't be asked to come back again if you do that. All right. Let's go to slide number four here. We have the monopole. And as you can see, Jeff is walking up. This is a much more difficult tower to climb up, you guys. So please, please pay attention when you're walking up these towers. And as you can see, he's looking down, watching his steps very, very carefully there. Number six here. Oh, no, wait. No, sorry. Number five. This is just a very interesting picture of looking down the tower. But as you can see around the yellow circle there, we have just a spectator watching. But look what he's missing, you guys. He is missing a hard hat. So if Jeff would drop a pair of pliers or crimpers or anything like that, Phil is in danger of getting hit very, very hard and it could ruin his day. So those are the things we want to accentuate here. Wear hard hats. It's a necessity. And next picture, that's just the cool tower that Jeff was on. I just wanted to show you guys that so you could see the whole tower, see the antennas he was working on that day. All right, let's go to the next slide here. All right, the top left are the lanyards that he uses on his harness. And that is important because your belt is only going to hold you in place. But if you fall off or lose your steps there, you're going to hit every single rung all the way down with your chin. And it's going to hurt a lot. And you're going to be in a lot of pain and you might have brain damage. So we encourage the lanyards for that exact reason. Also, there in the middle is where the belt clips onto the tower as well. It goes all the way around the tower and clips back onto the other side of your hip there. That holds you in place and makes you feel secure enough that you can lean backwards and actually do the job that you need to do on the tower. And on the right there, notice that he has all of his tools there secured and in place. And you guys, don't for silly, stupid Phillips screwdriver. Seriously. I mean, do you really want somebody to have to climb all the way up the tower to bring that to you? Or do you want to have to walk all the way back down the tower? No, don't do it. Bring all the tools, bring extras, especially when it comes to connectors, because you're going to drop one. Most likely you're wearing these big heavy gloves. You're going to end up dropping one. So just be vigilant there and make sure you get it done right the first time around. All right, let's go to the next slide there. Okay, as you can see, right next to Jeff on his chest is attached a radio. And down below, somebody else has a radio. That way he can call, say, hey, listen, this connector is not working. This one's broken. I just dropped something. Can you send something else up? It's always nice also to have an extra rope and some kind of container that maybe you can tie that stuff to so that you can have a pulley system to pull those things back up to you. That way you don't have to climb all the way back down the tower, because if you're up 100 feet, let's face it, you do not want to go back down and go back up. Okay, let's go to the next slide. We definitely need a supervisor. Supervisors are a must. They're there to let you know that you're always doing it wrong and that they would do it differently. So keep that in mind. They're always, you can't do it right. And that's WD0EKR Jim, our beloved repeater man who has supplied all of our local antennas and repeaters, by the way. So bravo there, Jim. We love ya. All right, let's go to number 10 there. I just wanted to give you guys a picture of the two towers that they were working on that day when these photos were taken. And those are our local, they're on Fremont Peak, let's put it that way, which overlooks Canyon City. So they've been there for years. Before that, they belonged to the Colorado State Patrol. And that little shack there, these guys used to go up there and have to stay up there maybe 3 or 4 days at a time just to do their shifts, basically. So let's be glad we don't have to do that. All right, let's go to the next picture. Now, this is a gorgeous view. This is Colorado for you. Not only do you have wonderful towers you get to climb up, this is also the view that you get. So I just wanted you guys all to know that that's, and by the way, that city back there is Canyon City. That's where we live. Very gorgeous. And let's go to the next slide there. Okay. Oh, yes. This is a great picture. First of all, this is a different tower on a different mountain, which is much higher up. And that is Phil, WA0NLK there. And should it say to be or not to be, or should it say to pee or not to pee? I don't know. That's a guy thing. I can't answer that for you guys. Anyhow, that antenna is the Canyon City node of the Megalink system, which is about 120 miles away from the San Antonio Mountain, which hosts the complete Megalink system, which covers basically all of New Mexico. It was a very popular, interesting, and top of the line system when it came out there. So we happen to be one of the ones hosting part of the links there. And you guys can always look up more information about that. And again, or I should say also, it's 100% solar and wind turbine generated there. So awesome work. And our club guys built that whole thing from the ground up, bringing pieces and pieces. Oh, okay. And this is just another look from a tower the other direction. Look at those beautiful mountains, you guys. Colorado is one of the most beautiful places in the world to live, I'll tell you. And the last picture we have is pretty cool because this is from our IP camera that we actually installed on top of the tower there in Canyon City. So it overlooks the city and we can wake up in the mornings, go online and see if it's snowing, raining, foggy, whatever from that camera. So it's pretty cool. So that's the end of the slideshow there. And let's bring Jeff up in here. I'm going to move out of the way here. And he can show you an up close and personal harness here. This is the belt portion of the harness. So this is what you would take and tie around the whole tower. It wraps around the tower and clips in place on the other side. This is what holds you in place and allows you to push yourself back from the tower and actually use your hands and do the work that is needed to be done on either replacing an antenna, fixing an antenna, replacing hardline, blah, blah, blah. Next, he has in his hands the lanyards, which will actually save your life. That's the only way to put it.
This part of it right here.
Oh, hold on. They can't hear you. Come closer.
This part of it right here, for you guys that don't know, right there, and I just scared the dog, right there is a bunch of the part of the lanyard that's all sewn in place, and this is kind of a shock absorber. So if you do fall, the stitches inside here break and absorb your fall, so you don't break your back or whatever. And I would note that these clips right here, you really, if you're going to buy a harness, you don't want these. You want the what they call angle iron clips. They're about 5 times bigger than that, and you can clamp around the legs of the tower. These guys, I can't do that, and I don't necessarily like them, but the price was right. But the angle iron clips, you can clamp them around just about anything.
One more quick thing, Jeff, there. And how much would a harness cost if somebody is looking into investing in one to save their lives?
Depends on what you're going to buy. I mean, it could be a few $100 to a few $1,000. It just depends on what you buy and the quality that you want. But a lot of guys will just climb with the belt and not the harness. But, you know, if you fall and you catch your chin with every rung, it's going to be rough. So I would definitely suggest buying the harness.
Hey.
Okay, right. That's it.
All right. Great job, guys. There's always every way in the world to do whatever, and there's various ways to support yourself and really make sure you're safe when you're on these towers. But great report. Gets us all to thinking, and get out there and get you a harness. Don't ever climb a tower without a harness. You can't do that. Thanks so much, Amanda and Jeff. That was a great report. We appreciate it. And we're going to go up to Northern Illinois and see what's going on in the chat room. Cheryl, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good there, Bob. I wanted to make a comment, too, on some other things with the aspect to Amanda's report. I thought it was, very interesting to talk about safety, because that's really, really key. And I think the number one rule of most important safety tower issues is to check the weather for the day to make sure that the lightning or the rain or the frost precipitation forecast is good. That's kind of a important issue, too. And always make sure your gin pole is properly rated for support and your PPE or your personal protective equipment is checked for fraying or dried out leather or things like that. And always, last but not least, always consult with your tower manufacturer for proper installation and recommendations before attempting any install. But good topic, really nice. Have some questions here tonight. Looks like one for you from VE3MIC. Mike wants to know for you, Bob. I noticed that many of you are using EQ mixers during the show. Do you use them while on the air for AM and or other modes?
I use usually the equalizers in the radios. We're very fortunate that almost every ICOM radio today has an equalizer in it. And I urge everyone, if you're going to be selecting a transceiver today, make sure it has some EQ in it today. It's very, very important. I use equalization. I use the mixing consoles with EQ or receive. We're going to cover that one of these days. It is so important to have it on receive, because you can dig them out from the noise just by adjusting equalization. And there again, it's what the old Fletcher Munson curve of the year hears, and it's very important. But I don't use a lot of mixing consoles. Very seldom do I use it on the radios. I pick out the right kind of microphone, and I use the equalization for of the radio that's on board.
Sure, thank you for that answer. One more thing that was mentioned more than one time from KA2OFM. He wanted to say that he was at the ARRL W1AW station and saw quite a lot of Heil equipment that was donated, and they wanted to say thank you, Bob, for that. They thought that was really nice, and I wanted to get that out there to you as well. And there's another question in here. It looks like it's about power poles. Power poles, and should we all be looking into using them? Amanda wanted to know. And actually, I have some experience with the Anderson power poles. They are for quick release, in and out. We use them in the the emergency operations center and our Lake County RACES team, and just so we can be kind of standardized. You know, we can get our equipment in and out if need be. If one thing doesn't work or the other, they're very important. They have the red, the black, and also some people don't know they actually have the green power pole, which is for ground. Not a lot of people have them, but you can gang them up together and so on and so forth. So they are pretty well known and used throughout the emergency industry. And I wanted your thoughts on that, George. Anything else on the Anderson power poles?
The Anderson power poles work great once you figure out how to put them together. You do need a crimper, and it doesn't hurt to look at one that's already been assembled. But once you figure that out, they're very simple, and they're a good solution. They're not the only solution. I mean, there's a number of different type of connectors that you could use with these rigs. But you want to make sure that whatever kind of connector you're using, it's going to carry the current that that your rig is going to need. You know, a smaller connector, if you try to use that, it's going to heat up on you. So use good connectors, and the Andersons are good ones.
Great. Thank you very much. And KB4T Frank in Florida, he wonders, for both of you, Bob and George, how do you feel about the latest series of crimp-on PL-259s offered by RF Industries and similar products?
I'm an old fogey. I want to solder them. I'm sorry. It's taken me months, but I want to solder them. I bet you you're the same, George, or am I wrong?
Well, I will crimp on a BNC connector, but if I'm going to do a PL-259, I'm going to need one of these or a gun or something. You know, it just doesn't feel right without some solder on it.
That's right, Cheryl. We got to solder them.
Yeah, I understand. I kind of am in agreement with you on that topic, too. And Bob, last but not least, KC9UDA, Tom, he asks, how do you run the coax out to your antennas?
Well, there was some things on early in some of the videos. I use a toilet flange. This really works great. I got it at Lowe's one day. I had the floor all uncovered, and I'm, how am I going to get these out of here? I had 15 of them and a couple of rotor lines and the switch lines. So I had this hole about that big around, and I have a 3-inch, used a right-angle PVC. It works great. They go down into the crawl space. I used the angle again to come out of the house, and we buried them, and it just works great, and I don't see any other way that I could have done it, but it would work for anybody, actually.
Perfect. I guess there is just one last one on the same topic, similar. KD6MVE, thank you, Ed, for your question. Did you fill the end of the conduit at your tower with some kind of sealant, Bob, at all?
No, I found some really cool stuff there. It looks like the steel wool things that you find in a just store at Lowe's and so on, but they were copper, and I found them in a grocery store. It's what you wash dishes with, but they're actually copper. Works great. That's what's in
there. Awesome. Great. Great job. We appreciate your questions, and we love you guys in the chat room, and thanks for watching Ham Nation. Thanks, everyone, for your questions and answers tonight. This is K9BIK. Yeah. Have a great night.
Thanks for watching over everybody in the chat room. And George, we'll see you next week when, boy, we're getting closer to giving all that ICOM and stuff away. I don't guess I can enter to win that, can I? No.
No. George, but I'd I think like you're to. Muted.
Uh-oh, George got muted. But I'd now, like none to.
None of us can, Bob, you or I or Tommy or Gordo, but somebody's going to have a really nice Christmas this year.
Aren't they ever? That's great. Go check out the site so you can get your name in the hat. Can't win if you don't enter. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Amanda, Jeff, Cheryl, George, and, of course, the great staff back in Petaluma. Drive them nuts because we keep changing things and doing stuff, but they just do such a great job. And thanks to Leo Laporte for giving us this bandwidth, and a very special to the birthday boy yesterday, Joe Walsh, for playing our theme. And if you guys and gals don't go listen to the replays, you're missing a whole lot. You need to do that because you don't hear all of that beginning and ending of Joe's great talent. So you want to do that. Go and watch the replays. So We'll see you next week back here in Ham Nation. Pass the word. Get all your ham buddies to know what's going on. And if you got any clubs that that meet once a month, George, Gordo, and I, we've been doing club meetings via Skype. It's absolutely wonderful. The cost is zero. It costs so much to travel today. Don't have to do that with Skype. So send us an email, and we'll try to do a schedule. And all you need is a good Skype connection. Away you go. 7-3, everybody. From the center of the United States, Illinois tonight, not Missouri. This is K9EID and all the Ham Nation crew. We'll talk to you next week right here. Very, very happy Thanksgiving. We all have a lot to be thankful for.